It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten talking Laker hockey for the next 20-25 minutes this morning. And Damon, a big weekend coming up for the Lakers. Number one is you get to come home and play in front of the home fans in Great Lakes State weekend. That's a big deal right there. But then having Michigan, an old CCHA foe, be the opposition, that just adds to it. It's going to be a big weekend.
Yeah, a lot of excitement around town, around the program. Obviously, when Great Lakes State weekend comes around, it's always a great event and a lot of things going on, outside of the hockey world. So it's nice to welcome back a lot of our alumni and a lot of parents and just a great vibe around town. And obviously, it's been a great start to our season. So there's a lot of excitement around there. You add in the Michigan Wolverines coming up, and that's an exciting rivalry from those CCHA days. A lot of great battles over the years. So no, we're really looking forward to it. It's been a good couple of days of practice. Guys understand the magnitude of this series, and we can't wait for Friday night.
Yeah, we played Michigan, I think, 2 years ago and down there at Michigan, which is why Michigan's here this weekend. But we won one of those two games. I can remember Gus Coriale having a big night that night and did a good job against them. They're always a good skating team. They've always got NHL draft picks in their lineup. And they're not playing maybe where they want to just yet this season, but they are coming off a twin win over St. Lawrence in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, and also coming off a Frozen Four appearance. A little bit of a surprise team last year. They had a great stretch run with Coach Pearson going down there and kind of shaking things up a little bit and making some tweaks once Coach Berenson retired there. So there's some youth in that lineup coming off that Frozen Four team, and then they're working some kinks out there. But it's a good hockey team, as you said. There's a lot of individual talent on that team. They can skate, and that's I think the first thing you notice watching film is they play with a lot of pace to their game, as Mel liked to do at Michigan Tech. So it's a big challenge, and it's going to be exciting. Again, our guys understand the magnitude. They know the matchup and the ability in that lineup there, and I think we're really excited to learn a little bit more about our team. We had a good win down there last Friday, a tight game Saturday, so it's a measuring stick in some regards, but we just want to continue to get better. It's been the good start, a lot of good individual efforts throughout our lineup right there, but we've got to get better as we get through this series and get back into WCHA play, but the excitement will be there. It can be a great weekend. I know tickets, they're not a lot left, so if you don't have them, make sure you get out there and come watch a great weekend of hockey.
Yeah, we've got 4,000 seats at Able Arena. We should fill probably 2,800, 3,000, 3,200 this weekend. Michigan's a big draw. It is Great Lakes State weekend. We do have two former hockey players going into the Hall of Fame this weekend, along with a really good men's basketball player and a couple of really good women athletes in Jean Carbino-Kreidler and Muggsy Olsen. They were great athletes. It'll be exciting too on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, no, it's always really enjoyable to go listen to the stories of the experiences of those former student athletes and their time at Lake State, what this university meant to them, for all of them too. It's not just about on the court or on the ice. It's the friendships they made over the years and some great stories. So that's a highlight. And again, I talk a lot about my first year here when we inducted the team, the national championship team into the Hall of Fame. And, they came back and they're hugging professors and fans and people around, Roy Britz and Roy Forrest, just so many great memories from that and what they share. So we really enjoy that. We've heard from Darren and Mark, and we're hoping to make it work to get them in to talk to the team a little bit Saturday morning as well, although they've got a packed schedule. But just a lot of excitement all the way around the program this weekend. Those of you who will be coming to the games or have a chance to pop by campus, a lot of new artwork just going up yesterday and today. The rink looks incredible. Dr. Pateson and his staff did a really nice job of showing a little bit more of our history, our national championships, what Dr. Pateson likes to call the cradle of coaches. Hobie Baker, we got a great history of Hobie Baker finalists and candidates, and so some new artwork's up in that main entryway and it looks outstanding. So make sure you take some time to come read up on some of that great history once again.
Yeah, Darren Maley, who will be inducted
one of those Hobey Baker candidates when he was a junior, his last year at Lake Superior State in 1991-92. And you'll hear all about that on Saturday afternoon. And, you know, both of those gentlemen, Astley and Madeley, are going to speak in glowing terms about their days at Lake Superior State. They have on several other occasions since they left here. They enjoyed it here very, very much. They'll tell you it was the best time of their lives.
Best time, and really influential. I've known Darren since I was about 13 or 14 years old, so we've known each other a long, long time, and you know, worked together at some hockey schools over the years, and even before coming back to Lake State, we would keep in touch and see each other. Obviously, he's coaching still. Excuse me. So you get a chance to see him out on the road there, and like you said, his time at Lake State was really important to his development, both as a hockey player, but as a husband, as a future father, and you know, he just can't speak highly enough about his time here. So it's great to have him back. He does make it back usually one or two other times per year. Brings his Lake Forest Academy team up and plays the Sioux Indians. So he's been around quite a bit, but there's a lot of improvements that he'll look forward to seeing. And again, a great chance for our guys to hear about you know, his time here and what it's meant.
Well, a lot of athletes go on to become leadership people at various levels. I know right now Pete Stauber, who played for us back in the late 80s, early 90s, is he's running for Congress, U.S. Congress out in Minnesota, doing really well in the campaign at this point. But that's a big story. Last week we had men's basketball had its reverse raffle and played an exhibition game and brought back all kind. I was amazed at how many players came back. There had to be 50 guys here, and many of them big success stories. They're like heading up corporations and companies, and they're lawyers and they're fire chiefs. And it's amazing how athletics can lead. And we've got a lot of those stories in hockey too.
Yeah. And you hear, you know, as a coach, you know, we're often, you know, called upon for letter reference letters or, you know, background checks, things like that. And, you know, employees and people doing the hiring process, you know, talk about it. You know, they know how to work in a high pressure environment. They know the meaning of teamwork and how to be a good teammate. So, yeah, these guys are definitely sought after, and female athletes, guys and girls, are sought after as they join the workforce and, you know, put their playing careers behind them. So it really does prepare our student athletes, you know, to be successful. And, you know, that's obviously, you know, we're a Division I hockey program and we're here to win hockey games, and that's important. But we also have a big role in their preparation, you know, to have a career outside of hockey for a lot of these guys, to be a, you know, a successful husband, a successful father. And, you know, those are some of the best stories you hear, and Lake State is such a school relationships, being such a tight-knit community, that it's great to hear these stories. So it's really one of the most enjoyable weekends of the year.
Now, your team last weekend, you get a couple of wins at Alabama Huntsville. Not an easy place to get victories, because Huntsville has a history of really playing hard, especially when they're trying to get their first win of the season, which they were, and they did play hard both games. Lakers win 5-4, 2-1, and did a good job defensively, got good goaltending, scored timely goals, especially Saturday night when they scored two in the third period, one by Anthony Nellis to tie it. Hampus Erickson won it a few seconds later, and the Lakers come out of there with 6 points.
Yeah, you know what? We've gone through some different games. We haven't played a lot of hockey yet, and I think that's you know, the area we're trying to play catch up on, is getting our game conditioning and our game timing caught up to some of these teams like Huntsville, who had already played 6 games and we only played 2. But you know, we've found different ways to win games. We've led throughout games. We've trailed going into the third period. You know, I think our upperclassmen and our seniors, our juniors in particular, have you know, really found ways to impact the game and be the difference makers. You know, Anthony Nellis has been really good. Hampus is only a sophomore, but he came in for his first 2 games of the year and had a real big impact there. Braden Gelsinger's played extremely well. Diego's played well. Gage Terrell was a little bit quiet that opening weekend, but he got on the score sheet and was playing well. You know, Nick Kossoff has won his 2 starts, and then Merrick Mittens has gone as a sophomore and won his 2 starts. So we've got depth, we've got balance, and again, a bigger test lies ahead of us. So we feel good where we're at. The locker room's in a really good spot. We've got some tough decisions to make throughout our starting lineup and who's going to play this weekend, but we like where we're at, and again, just looking forward to Friday night dropping the puck against Michigan.
No, on Tuesday night you talked a little bit about the chemistry this year, that you think this is the best dressing room you've had, and I would agree with that. I think this team is it's led by some really good people who've been around a while. I know in the past we've talked many times about how Diego Cuglietta and Anthony Nellis and Gage Terrell and Nick Kossoff have all your seniors have they've been playing since they were freshman.
Yeah. very experienced, you know, in big situations, and not just playing, you know, a couple minutes a night and things like that. They're power play guys from day one. They've been penalty kill guys, most of those guys from day one. You know, they matched up against other teams' top line. So really, you know, very experienced seniors. You don't get that very often. And had we not had a coaching change, you know, they probably wouldn't have got that here or anywhere else either. So the coaching change and you know, kind of a change in style of play was a big piece of that. When they got here, they were able to grab big roles and kind of help us through some, you know, that transition. So now they're, you know, you can see that experience, you can see that moxie. Our team feels it because we are, you know, we're a little bit more relaxed on the bench. You know, we're trying to really allow our locker room to lead more. And I think great teams, the leadership does come from within, you know, the accountability, the leadership comes from within the playing group, and they're doing a great job of that so far this year. Haven't faced much adversity yet beyond some off-ice issues that we've talked about. You know, that will come. And again, I have a lot of faith in this group that they'll lead us through that.
Yeah, we went into that game on Friday night missing a couple of defensemen too, and had to kind of shore things up there. You actually played some freshmen on defense as the game went on, or some forwards rather on defense as the game went on, but it worked. And we're without Ruggiero, who's a very good defenseman, and Tyler Anderson. That takes your two biggest D-men out of the lineup, and that was Friday, and then they came back Saturday. Just as tough a game, but the Lakers get the two wins.
Yeah, it was challenging. Friday was tough, as you mentioned. You know, their size, you know, when you take those guys out of the lineup, you're taking two guys 6'3", 6'4". You know, they don't give up skating ability at that size, so both those guys cover ice really well. Tyler Anderson has that big-time shot and those puck skills, so you lose that a little bit as well. And as you mentioned, you know, Chase Gamblin, we had to take him off his line for a couple shifts throughout the game just to give guys a breather that were playing major minutes. So he did that. Alex Ambrosio took a shift or two. So it was disruptive. It was challenging. I think a real credit to the five guys who were able to play. Out of that group, two of those guys were freshmen, and then Jacob Nordquist and Alex Amandel. So it was not, as a coach going into that, you know, you were really uneasy that you only had five guys, two of them freshmen. It was not an easy game to prepare for that way. And you know, real happy that we got the win on that, and a real credit to the defenseman who played. And then, like you said, we turned around Saturday night, those guys came back into the lineup. Will Rydell came out battling some illness, and you know, so again, we were a little bit young back there, but real credit. I think it's a group that has played pretty well overall. Really be challenged this weekend with skill and speed coming at us, but I think it's a group and a unit of D that can be really, really good for us throughout the course of the season.
Okay, we're going to take a break here this morning. You're listening to Laker Hockey Talk. Damon Whitten, Bill Crawford. We'll be right back with more on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
Hi. This is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Whitten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk. It's Bill Crawford, Damon Whitten talking Laker hockey. Great Lakes State weekend coming up. A lot of extra things going on this weekend. No distractions for hockey, though. This team will be zeroed in on playing Michigan on Friday and Saturday nights. And, you know, you mentioned a few moments ago, Damon, you have some tough decisions to make. You and the other coaches, Mike York and Zach Sizek, kind of have to sit down here sometime before Thursday night, I would think, and decide, hey, who's going to play goal Friday? Who's going to be in the lineup? Because you got a lot of D-men. You've had, you know, illness and injury and suspension kind of help you out and get them out of the lineup for you. But now you got to make a decision. Everybody's ready to go. And somebody's got to sit out, and that's not easy, and yet it's a good thing. It's better to have it that way than the other way around.
Yeah, the alternative is not a place you want to be, and it's a daily evaluation. You know, we typically meet every morning as a coaching staff and design or tweak practice plans based on the previous day or opponent, adjustments we want to make based on some of the things Michigan are doing. You know, we're not going to change a whole lot about who we are, but we certainly want to be prepared for some of the wrinkles they throw at us. And so we talk every morning about our line combinations, our defensive pairings, where our goaltending is at, and then post-practice we'll revisit it and spend a little bit of time about who had a good day on the ice and who maybe struggled, who's a good matchup against Michigan and the way they skate. We spend a lot of time on that, and we've got a pretty good feel. Obviously, some things have not changed. We've had really essentially three lines that have been together from day one, and they've been healthy and able to play. So there's some consistency among that group. The good thing about the suspensions and the illness on the back end is you get guys like Alex Samandel a chance to get in and play and gain some experience. So that's positive and helpful in some ways. But we'll continue to evaluate that. Obviously the goaltending's been talked about a little bit. We've rotated guys Friday, Saturday night, and again we've got to continue to evaluate that and see where that's at. But we're comfortable with those guys, and then even Roman Banger, who's got a little bit of time. We think those guys can all play and help us out to win. So we'll keep having those discussions, and I think everybody will find out Friday night when puck drops.
Yeah, big weekend too, in that you have all these extra things going on, but what a weekend this is. And we asked this question on the hockey show Tuesday night, but great opportunity to bring a recruit in and have them see all these things that are going on, go sit through the induction into the Hall of Fame and get to see a big crowd.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you definitely want to take advantage of opportunities like this when it's a well-known opponent, and a weekend where there's so much buzz and activity on campus. So and we will do that. We'll have a couple gentlemen on campus here visiting. One's a verbal commitment, one's an uncommitted player, student athlete. The other thing we got into on the radio show on Tuesday night is that it doesn't happen as much anymore. When 8-10 years ago, it was almost unheard of if you did not, if you were a recruited student athlete, you almost always caught a game. It was something you wanted to see. You wanted to see a game night atmosphere, check out the crowd, the style of play, things like that. Back then it would happen. Now, most junior teams will not release you from your games on that week. And back then, I think there's a little bit less pressure to win at the junior level. There was a little bit more of a developmental focus, and coaches could release some of their best players to miss a game a Friday night or Saturday night and come watch that college game. Now it doesn't happen very often. So you don't see many guys missing their own junior games and coming up. A lot of visits happen now on a Sunday evening and Monday on campus type of situation. But again, we are fortunate to be able to work out a couple of visits to get that up. Be great to have even more. We'd love to have more guys up and show them what our games, what our facility, those things look like. But it just doesn't happen as much anymore. And with it being so young now, you're not allowed to do as much. You can't do official visits for the younger kids. And there's so much of the younger recruiting that really changes it as well.
Yeah, we mentioned too a few moments ago, you get a chance in recent games to get the two freshman defensemen into the lineup. You've actually got three. One of them can't play because he hasn't gotten through the clearinghouse yet. Samandel looks like he could be a really good player. He's got good size and he can skate real well. And then Jacob Nordquist has been really a pleasant surprise. I don't know if he's physically strong enough yet at this level at D1, but boy, he can certainly handle the puck and he's got great skill. And you've had a chance to kind of feed them into things so far. And I don't know if you want to try him out against a speed team like Michigan. Samandel seemed to have a little trouble with speed down at Huntsville last weekend, but they're both getting their feet wet, and this is really good. This is exactly how you want them to come in.
Yeah, it's been a good process early on. Again, our D pairings have had to be jumbled up the last little bit because of some different illnesses and suspensions, things like that. So, those guys have had to kind of be quick on their feet to adjust to who they're playing with, maybe playing their offside, things like that. But, Jacob has been a regular. You see him on the power play as well, and, real late elite, hockey brain, hockey IQ, just a smart, smart player who sees the ice well and really understands the game. He's got a lot of deception to his game. He can kind of pull guys into him before distributing it to his partner or maybe to a power play option. So he's been really good and done a good job so far. And Alec, as you said, too, he's gotten some opportunities, maybe more than he thought early on, and has done a good job with those. He skates well. He's 6'1", 6'2", and a good skater. So it's been a real good and valuable experience experience for him to get those games against a team that comes at you in Huntsville and things like that. So we're comfortable. You know, those guys can play. You know, Bennett Vita is looking for another opportunity, and he acquitted himself well against Nipissing. And as you mentioned, Mitch Oliver will not see action this year in games. He's with us every day in practice. You know, had he gained his eligibility, he'd be playing because, again, he's a little bit like Jacob in terms of real good puck skills, real good vision and IQ for the game. And, you know, he'll be a good player for us when he's ready to go.
Yeah, we've got a third goaltender, too, who's pretty good. He looks really good in practice. He looked good against Nipissing and Roman Bengert, who was in the situation that Oliver's in this year, last season, and didn't get through the clearinghouse. So he's set to go now. And that just adds a little bit, too. I think all three of our goaltenders are pretty capable. If you were to have an injury or something, I think you could feel real confident in having Bengert there as well.
Yeah, and I think when, you know, when this this class came together, this trio of goaltenders came together, you know, part of our philosophy, different schools do it different ways. You know, some schools over the years, and I think when I played under Coach Mason, you know, we had two guys who could be a number one, and then a third who is more just dictated as a practice goaltender. You know, and we didn't want that situation. We wanted three guys who were capable of playing and hopefully competing to be a number one at this level. And, you know, I think we have that. Those guys, as you said, are all capable goaltenders. And obviously Roman, due to, you know, some strange interpretation of the rules with his advisor, you know, was not granted eligibility last year. So he's a little bit behind the other two because of their experience in game situations and a little bit more high pressure readings. But we are comfortable with Roman and the ability that he brings to our team.
Now, Michigan this weekend, I know you know a little something about them. You've probably watched some video on them. They've got a high-powered team that really hasn't come to where they want to be just yet. They got beat by the under-18s. They got beat by Vermont at home, but they've also won two in a row against St. Lawrence at home. And they've got a lot of talent. Quinn Hughes and Joe Ciccone back on that blue line are probably as good a defensive duo at moving the puck as we're going to go up against this year, so you probably need a wrinkle or two there. But this is a good team, potentially. We don't want them to break loose this weekend. We want them to kind of keep fooling around here while we play well.
Yeah, and a lot of talent, as you mentioned. And, you know, it's funny, every weekend, I would say that the best player on the ice has been a defenseman for the opposing team. You know, we saw that in Providence. We saw that in Huntsville. And maybe a little bit more of a blurred line here between Hughes and Norris up front there for him. But that top pairing of Hughes and Ciccone is really, really good, as good as you'll see around the country this year. So we definitely have to be prepared. You know, Hughes is a little bit more of, you know, can make you miss and some false information and an elite skater. Ciccone is really good at the offensive blue line. He's got a great shot and doesn't take much for him to get it off. So we've got to be in shot lanes and really containing those two. And then up front, again, their top six or top nine, really talented players. A lot of draft picks mixed in there, as you have mentioned as well. And Norris is leading the way up front right now. So, you know, fortunately we're at home and then we'll look to match up appropriately to get some, you know, good defensive matchups for us against those top guys. And, you know, probably have a pretty strict discipline to our matching game this weekend and that, you know, making our guys aware of what they're up against in Hughes and Norris, and that we've got to be great defensively as well and then look to take advantage offensively of our opportunities.
Well, it should be a really good weekend, Damon. I mean, we've been looking forward to this one. We talked about it over the summer in our monthly programs on Laker Hockey Talk, and now it's here. It's Michigan. We've got other highlights coming up this season. The schedule's much better than it was last year. We do have a trip to Little Caesars, the Great Lakes Invitational in the future, and some really good home series as well. But this is a big one. It's non-conference, but it's Great Lakes State weekend. And hey, we wish you luck this weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. It's great coming on and talking about the series. It's going to be an awesome weekend around campus, around town. So looking forward to see everybody at the game and at the different festivities surrounding Great Lakes State weekend. So have a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow night.
All righty. You'll hear Damon and me before each game, our pregame interview. Other than that, that's it. We're getting ready for Michigan. Get out there 7:30 Friday, 7 o'clock on Saturday night. It's Great Lakes State weekend. That's another Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.